you do, you don't have a job.
I beg to differ, O wisen one.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Or wizened, as wizened, the case may
wizened,
be.
Wizened, wizened, wizard.
Or both.
You got to stall. I forgot to do something.
Okay. Should I dance or hum a few bars of one of my favorite songs?
You know what we could do is we could tell everybody it is a trifecta, 590 WKZO.
He's Jim.
Yeah.
I'm Roger.
Yep.
And we'll be here till 5 o'clock this
afternoon.
Whether
you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. You have no choice. You'll have to endure us.
That's usually a pretty good word, enduring.
Yes.
Yeah.
What can't be changed must be endured. We have a couple of pre-topics?
We do. Let's tell people the phone numbers, of course, 382-4280-1877, 382-4280. And then the texting line for those snarky and smarmy texts, 80373. Just a couple of things on the docket for tonight. What am I doing here? Roger?
Yes?
I'm losing my mind.
Okay.
Kalamazoo City Commission is going to rule tonight on the digital billboard proposal.
What do you think they're going to do?
I'm hoping that they will have sensibility and will approve it because of the links that Adams Outdoor is going to ensure that billboards are not going to be all over the place and the guidelines that have been set forth and whatnot. So,
how many billboards does Adams have to give up? The ones in residential neighborhoods to get
up,
the electronic
don't
ones.
They have to give up four? I think four for one. It's a four for one trade. And they're getting, there's a point system being done in this, and that, you know, if in order to put a digital billboard up, they have to earn so many points, and they earn 2 points per each billboard that they take down in a residential area.
Okay.
So, I think it's going to be interesting, but I think they will approve it. I'm pretty sure. I think they're going to have a full house tonight at the City Commission.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, chambers, and I know there's going to be a lot of people there who are no, we can't have billboards anywhere. No, take them all down. Take them all down. Take them all down. You people suck the economic life out of a town. You know that?
You're suggesting that billboards are the economic arteries of the economy
not
of the community?
Not necessarily, but I do think that they are a part, and if it's done properly, then things will be fine. But I really hate this all-or-nothing attitude that some people take. I mean, that's your opinion, that's fine. I don't think it's right. I think they've been bending over backwards, both the City Commission at Adams and everybody else trying to, you know, the neighborhood associations and everything, trying to hammer out something that will try to suit everybody. And I don't think everybody's going to be happy, but I really don't care. I think that Adams and the City Commission and everybody will do, the right thing. And then the right thing is, I think, is a balance.
Kalamazoo has a reputation of finding a balance in these things.
That would be nice.
And continuing to move along.
Yeah.
And let's hope this is one of those cases. Well,
yeah.
You know, it's also in Comstock.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have
big news
some
today.
Issues
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah.
Their Zoning Board of Appeals is going to finally decide where Enbridge gets to dump all the crap they're going to dredge out of the river. And EPA is watching Enbridge closely, not giving them the extension they
did. You know
wanted.
Why they didn't? Did you read the reasons why? It was
I
very
think I did, but I can't recall them right now.
The ones that I liked was that Enbridge did not provide sufficient alternatives to the plan that was in place. In other words, they had not sufficiently investigated possible other sites or doing it dry, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So apparently Enbridge hadn't done their due diligence, and the EPA was going to punish them for that by saying, no, we're not going to put this off. You guys should have done your homework, and you didn't, and you got caught. So now the squeeze is on you. And for that, I will applaud the EPA. I think they did a good job.
Well, you know, we need to start doing that in this country more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if you're opposed to something – You have to have an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a viable alternative, then shut up.
Thank you, my friend.
You can't just sit and be critical.
No.
You can't say we want the river cleaned up, but don't dump it here.
Exactly.
You can't just dump it anywhere.
Yeah.
Witness next to a food processing plant would not be a reasonable place to dump that crap.
Or in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Either one. So I'll be very surprised. I'll be very interested to see what the ZBA and Comstock Township does. So, all right, our two pre-topics done. Let's start the show. I don't know who did it, but it was good.
Yeah, nice job.
We got a caller on a pre-topic?
Oh, on all three pre-topics.
Did we do three?
Well, sort of. I brought up beer, and that brought up the Comstock situation, and then billboards were on his list of concerns. Georgian Dowling joins us now. Hi,
well,
George.
Quit, George.
Hi there.
Start at the beginning.
Okay, you talked about the billboards. I didn't hear much of it. I haven't read a lot about it, but it sounds like you said that Adams had to give up so many billboards to earn so many points to be able to put up an electronic billboard.
Is that
the crux of it?
Yes, it is.
How about the other companies that don't have any billboards in town that want to be in competition with Adams? How do they earn points?
I don't know, because Adams is, I think, the only company in town that does billboards for Kalamazoo.
Well, I think CBS has got a few around. They might not be in the market right now, but it sounds like the city council, whoever this is, the commission, is striking a deal with Adams, and Adams is not the only company in the world that does billboards.
Well, I know, but I think they're the only ones that do them in Kalamazoo.
Well, I don't think there's a prohibition against another company coming in and doing them.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though.
That is
George,
a good question,
if they were going to come in, though, and do billboards for some reason, they would have to go through the entire process of getting a new billboard, I think.
Right, but if they are making the ordinance that you have to give up or earn so many points and you can't earn them because you don't have any to give up, I'd say they're discriminating.
Well, that could be just the agreement with Adams, because Adams is the only one in town.
But
right.
He brings up...
No, but that is a good point. You know, I don't know what the policy is on other companies in city of Kalamazoo.
Yeah,
as far as billboards go, but I guess we should find out.
We got Enbridge.
they do billboards too?
No, they want this... via the variance to be able to process next to Bell's. And they say, from what I heard on your newscast, I think, was that their claim is that their product is soil. They're producing soil. Well, I think only one person ever made soil, and he isn't around anymore. And I think they're producing a chemical mixture, and soil happens to be a product. So I can't see how they can argue with a straight face that they're producing soil. I think they said making soil in the report. Well, you don't make soil. You might process it, but you don't make it. And then, you know, that's just a sad situation there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
It is. All right, George. Oh, you got one more?
I can't remember the third topic right now. What was your other topic?
That was it.
That was it.
The EPA. The EPA, it seems like they're behind. I mean, the public doesn't know. We don't know what's going on over there. And they should come out and have a full-blown release of what's going on, why they have to stir the river up. I think it's been kept very hush-hush in Enbridge and the EPA.
Well, the EPA told them
what this is going to do to the next 10 years of the river.
The EPA told them point blank they could not have an extension because
bye-bye.
They did not do their homework. So, thanks, George. Yeah, the EPA said that they couldn't do it because they didn't do their homework properly. They did not research any other possible ways of doing this or any other locations for that matter. They just went in, did it, and then, somebody saw them.
And that led to my rant that you can't just be opposed to things, that you have to have an idea. You have to have something positive to contribute, not just, no, we don't want to do that. You can say we don't want to pile. Oh, George objected to my referring to beer as food.
Oh, it is, though.
Well, technically it is. It is a factory that produces a product to eat or drink.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's food. And putting a dredge spoil pad adjacent to a food production facility seems
a little heavy-handed?
Unwise.
Yes, there you go.
It just seems perhaps foolish.
Yes, perhaps it is. So we're going to try something next. We're going to take two topics in one segment.
Ooh.
But one of them is generated from Roger, and I got some local statistics on this that are not going to make some people happy.
Well, that's coming right up on the trifecta.
And the other thing is, she didn't believe Christianity was what?
Yeah,
coming up.
A religion.
WKZO. It is the trifecta. It's Roger. It's Jim. We have talked on several occasions about the sequestration.
Yeah.
And
wonderful, well thought out plan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They've done quite a bit of. And
a pox on both parties for this one.
Well, yeah, everybody deserves a little blame on this one. And I'm not. I haven't gotten any. Fred, when he was here, was exasperated because there's going to be another one coming up
because
of lack of whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
they couldn't interrupt their most recent 5-week vacation.
No, this is true.
To work on these things. I mean, they had worked so hard earlier in the year. It would be inhumane to deny them 5 more weeks of vacation.
Well, according to some statistics, the sequestration can be thanked for eliminating services for 57,265 children in the Head Start programs. That many children across the country are going to be denied Head Start services because of the sequestration.
2,200 of those children losing this program are in Michigan.
And to bring it even closer to home, I talked with someone today at Kalamazoo County Head Start. The sequestration is going to cut their budget by a little over 5%, which results in the net loss of 32 slots in Kalamazoo County. 32 children who would benefit normally from the Head Start program are not going to. And why, you ask? Because Republicans and Democrats in Congress couldn't get their act together. Period. Head Start's not the only thing, but this is a really big impact because preschool programs have been proven to be incredibly important in the lifelong education of a child.
Well, and in some cases, it is the children most in need of Head Start who will be losing it. Many Head Start programs, I don't know about in Kalamazoo, have had to cut transportation. And so that means the children from the poorest homes, homes where they don't have reliable transportation, will be the ones eliminated. And they're some of the most needy children. It's not that we've done this on a hierarchy of where we get the biggest bang for the buck in helping these children. These are just cuts that take place like an axe and have no rhyme or reason for who's getting cut from the program. And in some cases, it's the kids who need the program the most who are getting cut.
A lot of them are percentages, and it's just a percentage of the budget that goes bang, 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 bang. Now, there's another big impact here. This one we don't know about in Kalamazoo County because we haven't talked to any of the 30 families of the 32 children who are not going to go. But some parents who have relied on Head Start for their children's daycare because that's where they go,
mm-hmm.
now are going to have to leave their jobs, job loss,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have a place to take their children when they go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are the children not getting Head Start services, but the parents are now going to have to find another place to take these children, or they're going to have to leave their job.
Well, and if you're getting paid half of what a living wage would be, if you're making 7 1/4 an hour, how much child care can you afford on a McDonald's wage or on a Walmart wage? You can't afford to pay for child care and work a $7 1/4 job. We hear talk about everybody needs to work, but you have to make it possible for them to work.
And speaking of work, and again, I don't know this because I forgot to ask. I'll ask next time, I promise. But we don't know the net loss of jobs here in Kalamazoo County. Now, across the country, it's, I think, 11,000 workers.
Mm-hmm. No, 18,000.
18,000. More than 18,000 employees will see either layoffs or reduced pay because of the sequestration. So, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations of the U.S., the United States Congress,
nice job.
House and Senate. Nice job.
Yeah.
You clods.
Well,
and you know what?
Out.
The best part is you still have your health care and you still get paid and you get to take a vacation now.
Five weeks.
I sound sarcastic, I am, because there isn't one of the 530, and I defy anybody, including our own state, our only U.S. representative, Fred Upton, To sit and tell me to my face that this was the best thing for the country, that it couldn't have been avoided, that if they had sat down and talked things out, that maybe things could work. And you're right, Rogers, a pox on both their houses.
Yeah.
Because Republicans and Democrats together are responsible for this crap.
Well,
please remember this next year.
They invented
this
because they thought it would be so stupid that Congress wouldn't allow it to happen.
Yeah, well, guess what?
And Congress proved their stupidity level. They put this in place, and then they let it happen.
Yes. So, as my friend often says, a pox on both your houses.
Yes.
All right.
They deserve it.
Yeah, they do. All right, so you're going to love this one. The article starts out, "It's an honest mistake, but..."
Oh, yeah.
There's a Louisiana Republican congresswoman
mm-hmm.
who's finding out the hard way that about religious school vouchers.
Valerie Hodges
yes.
is her name. Yeah, yeah.
She, here we go. When she supported Governor Bobby Jindal's school voucher program, she apparently made this decision because she thought the vouchers could only be used for Christian schools.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's her a direct quote. "I actually support funding for teaching the fundamentals of America's founding fathers' religion, Christianity." Aside, that is an untrue statement. But she wants it taught in public schools or private schools. "I like the idea of giving parents the option of sending their kids to a public or a Christian school. The problem is now she wants to modify the law to make sure it does not open the door for schools talking about Islam."
Oh, yeah. No, we can't do that.
"There are 1,000 Muslim schools that have sprung up recently, so now I do not support using public funds for teaching Islam." You know, this is why the founding fathers had a separation between church and state. It's for exactly this kind of reason, Valerie. This is why the founding fathers were first not Christians, they were deists, and secondly, why they wanted religion kept out of our government. And what she's doing here, she was all for this until she discovered, surprise, surprise, Christianity's not the only religion in the world.
Isn't that amazing?
And now that she's discovered there are other religions in the world, whoa, I'm not so in favor of this direct aid to religious schools. Only if they're Christian do I want the money going to schools.
My favorite paragraph in this is 1,000 Muslim schools in Louisiana. Maybe that's why first-time jobless claims are decreasing there, all those Muslim school jobs at the 1,000 new Muslim schools.
Yeah, well, and apparently they've got a work ethic, something that is uncommon in Louisiana, apparently.
Well, depends.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny that someone this day and age would actually come out publicly and admit that they thought Christianity was the only religion. Okay. Yeah. We probably ought to maybe have an investigation into this. This sounds a little fishy. It has to do with FOIA. We've had problems with FOIA before. Well, we have somebody in our court. CBS and local news coming up. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO.
I think my ears are bleeding.
You know how you don't like the...
The volume was way up. Yeah.
I don't like this one.
Really?
Yes. Everybody has a song that I do not like this one. I don't know why, but I don't. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZL, and it's Roger, it's Jim. And it's brought to you in part by Bronson's Children's Hospital Walk and 5K Run, to be held on September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. We have... Bob on vacation. I was trying to think what I was going to say. Bob is on vacation. So, coming live out of the AccuWeather Tower for one and all is John Furyk. Hey, John.
How you doing? You're stuck with me.
It is. That's okay. All week or?
No, just today, fortunately for you guys.
No, but we like you, John.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
You're good. And plus, you got the shtick. You know what it is. You have the word. It's all good.
Yeah, well, that's true.
All right, so
that's true.
I'll tell you what. First, let's get the word, and then I want to ask you a question really quick because I've heard some conflicting comments. So, what pray tell might the word be today?
How about uneventful?
I like that. Yeah, I like that. That's
ho hum. Another beautiful day.
Yeah, yep. In the neighborhood. Yeah, that's this is actually pretty nice. It's not too bad. The question I wanted to ask you is. You know, I was reading on Facebook, and some of my friends are whipping around saying we're going to hit 90 by the end of the week. And I'm looking at the AccuWeather forecast, and it looks like Wednesday is going to top things out.
Yeah, I think Wednesday probably ends up being the hottest day. It's not out of the question that Wednesday maybe gets up near 90, but I think Thursday and Friday come back down a little bit.
All right, so. Do you think, just in your heart of hearts or looking in the AccuWeather crystal ball, do you think we're going to have at least one more real hot spell before fall decides it wants to kick in?
Yeah, I just have a hunch that we will. It may not be until, maybe the very end of August, but I think we will. We've been kind of lucky here the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we have.
I a lot of people probably hope it happens over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, and that's certainly a possibility. I have a funny feeling it's with the cool spell we've had, we're probably going to have a warm September and October.
Oh, well, that could be good and bad. If it stays
exactly.
Warm those two, that means the big pond stays warm, and we all know what that
true.
Can do.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
All right, well, and so what's the forecast look like for the next couple of days?
Oh, looking pretty comfortable again tonight, down in the low 60s. Tomorrow maybe a bit more humid. Highs in the mid-80s with some sunshine, up to 87 Wednesday, and then maybe a shower thunderstorm to cool things off by Thursday.
Oh, okay. Now, is that going to be a front-generated storm, or is that just an instability?
Yeah, it's a front, and so behind that say, late in the day Thursday into Friday, more comfortable air comes in again. So it gets humid for maybe a day and a half, 2 days, and then back to more comfortable air for Friday.
All right. Well, see, now that was a great forecast.
Anything
Absolutely.
Of note going on in tropical Atlantic or the Caribbean?
Not really. Not at this point. Aaron kind of bit
Fizzled.
The dust.
Yeah.
And that's my wife's name, so obviously I've had some fun with that the last few days.
Not too much fun, we hope.
No, not too much. But, yeah, really not a whole lot going on out there, which certainly is good news.
Yeah.
Good.
Not too shabby. See, John, you're a star.
Yeah.
You know, you should come back tomorrow. I mean, although, you know, if you stop today, you're going on an incredibly high note.
Exactly.
There you go.
I think I'll quit while I'm ahead.
Right. Thanks, John. We appreciate it.
Have a good
it.
One.
All right.
You
John
too.
Furyk, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire. Not a bad forecast. I'm up for it. It's good.
Beautiful weekend.
A little hot and sticky in the middle of the week, which is fine.
But even the weekend, the days were plenty
were
warm. If you wanted to lay in the sun at a beach, you could. And yet the nights were fun, sleeping with the windows open.
I did an outdoor, well, I didn't, the reception wasn't outdoors, but the wedding was outdoors on Saturday. And I think I told, I'd been, you know, doing that thing for, that kind of thing for 29 years, playing music. And I can count on one hand the number of outdoor weddings that I've done
mm-hmm.
where the weather was that nice. It's either too cold or windy or humid.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Just perfect.
I have a friend who's really into going to outdoor concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And, so far this year, I think he's had one that was comfortable.
Wow.
It's been raining. It's been hot as the warm place. And I got no interest in outdoor concerts. It's just too much of a crapshoot for me.
Yes. Although Pine Knob is kind of nice. What does Bill want?
Bill is going back to an earlier comment. The first half hour was sort of a mishmash of things.
It's a boomerang stack.
Yeah.
Then.
And okay. He wants to go back to billboards.
Oh, well.
Hi, Bill.
Head on back, Bill.
Hi. How are we doing?
We're doing all right. How about you?
Great. Just the Enbridge thing. I just can't understand any local builder in Kalamazoo County realizes that you got to get a permit to put a driveway in to build a house.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually a one-man band. They don't have lawyers and PR people working for them. Enbridge is going to dump contaminated soil on a property and did not get a permit. Now, either they're really stupid or they're slippery as oil.
Well,
or both.
You know, I'm wondering if they didn't think because it was a rural area that they could just go ahead and do that.
But, I mean, it's basically you're building a landfill.
Yeah, with dirt.
Kind of. I mean,
yeah, contaminated dirt. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, you should have permits for that. I mean, that's just common sense, I would think.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this, and Roger too. They're going to put this on a concrete slab, right?
I don't think so.
Contaminated soil isn't there a platform of some sort that they're going to put it on?
They're going to build a seal for it. Yeah.
Well, but I'm wondering what's to prevent anything from that particular site from moving elsewhere, either via wind, water, whatever. I mean,
well, heavy rains like we've had in the last 2 months are definitely something that would wash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
No.
That's
potentially back into the river,
exactly.
Potentially over onto other properties, either residential or a food processing plant.
Right.
And you're right. That's just stupid.
I don't know. Pork chop in every can, Roger.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate it.
See ya.
Bill's got it right.
No, he's hitting on the nail.
It's just criminally stupid.
Well, I don't know if it's stupid so much as just absolutely no common sense whatsoever.
Well, what is the definition of stupid but lack of common sense?
Okay.
I rest my case.
You got me there, but guy, you got me there. Okay. Yeah, all right. All right, so everybody knows about the Freedom of Information Act. It's something you can utilize if you need information on something and you want to know more than maybe what's going on or has been released to you and you can go and FOIA something to try to get it. Well, there's a state senator, Hoon-Yung Hopgood from Taylor, who filed FOIA requests to get information from the Michigan Education Achievement Authority, which is overseeing about 15 schools in the Detroit area, lowest performing schools. This guy is on the Senate Education Committee, asked the EAA for information. Now, get this. Here's the information, okay? Enrollment, attendance, expulsion, and classroom safety information. Not only did the EEA reject his proposal. Are you ready for this, Raj? Are you ready? EEA officials say the requested information doesn't exist. So what you're telling me is this. This is an organization that is overseeing not one, not two, but 15 of the lowest producing schools in Detroit, and they have no clue about enrollment, attendance, expulsion, or classroom safety information. Are they out of their minds? Would you really admit to that in public? And then second of all, this guy sits on the Senate Education Committee. So I'm guessing that at some point in time, he may have something to do with the EAA, unless it's just a standalone and nobody can do anything about it. Why would you not give him the... Well, I know why now, because they said it doesn't exist.
Well, or please. It is so ugly, they would rather take the flack for being stupid and not having that information than to share the actual information. Maybe what they don't want to release is so ugly, they mm-hmm. don't want to release it.
Uh-huh. Now, the EAA, for their part, says, basically, they're approaching their second year and they don't have the comparative data that he wants, that the state senator wants. He needs the information to make informed decisions. However, according to this spokesperson, they don't have it. They don't have it. Now, he got 800 pages, but the EAA is saying they don't have the data. So, anyway, it's interesting. That I think that maybe it's not so much the data part of it that I'm looking at. I'm thinking, why the EAA gave him over 800 pages of stuff? So...
Have you ever heard the phrase baffling with somebody with
BS.
Versus 800 pages sounds like baffling to me.
Or they gave him everything that they had on what they thought.
Or they gave him so much more information than he needed that he can't make sense of.
This is the one thing that does make sense, Howard. If you're going to ask for information. Now, see, the way that the Senator Hopgood is saying it, he was denied enrollment, attendance, expulsion, and classroom safety information. That basic information, I can't imagine the EAA wouldn't have. Now, what the EAA is saying is he was asking for what's called comparative data, comparison from the EAA to other schools that could be used to measure what the EAA is doing against the other schools or whatever, and if this is only their second year, I might be able to buy them making a case for not having as much information maybe as what, what they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm wondering if there's not more to this story than we're hearing, that, he's just crying foul because he didn't get the comparison data that he wanted, but the EAA says that it doesn't exist because they haven't been around long enough to do comparison data. So, sounds maybe like much ado about nothing. But it does bug me, though, that this, and I will talk to you about this, the article pretty much stipulates that Senator Hopgood had to resort to FOIA to get information out of the EAA. That troubles me, especially because he sits on the Senate Education Committee. He's an outspoken opponent of the EAA, but that shouldn't matter. If you're going to, if the guy has any oversight over the EAA, he doesn't have to like them if he doesn't want to. But if he requests information, it should be common courtesy to let a legislator have that information. And they shouldn't have to resort to a FOIA. That, I guess maybe that's the crux of this issue here. Not necessarily the data involved, but the fact that Senator Hopgood had to go and FOIA this stuff.
Are state funds involved in the EEA? Or EAA?
EAA, I think so. I think so. I don't think it's a standalone.
Then he has a right to take a look at that data.
And they have the obligation to give it to him.
Yeah, you'd think.
So.
Yeah.
Apparently that is not the case. All right, so, Raj, we get to argue a little.
Okay.
Okay?
What are we going to argue about?
Opinion piece that was in the Detroit News over the weekend about the emergency manager and people who don't like it, that maybe they should have done something in the first place. And I think he's specifically pointing a finger at the residents and voters of the city of Detroit and elsewhere. We'll check it next. It is the Trifecta. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZO. It is Jim. It is Roger. It is a Monday. Hey, Raj, did you see you get another day off this week?
Yeah, what day?
Thursday, I believe.
All right.
Yeah.
I've already got plans.
Yeah, I know you do. So do I, actually.
There's a neat dog park on Lake Michigan up just south of Muskegon.
Taking the kids out, are you?
I'm thinking the girls get to go swimming.
All right, good
Thursday.
For you. Yeah, and the water's good now.
It's supposed to be a warm
day. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Just be careful. Bring your umbrella, because just in case it rains. It'll rain over there before it rains here, so you know.
Gracie and Ellie get to go swimming.
They will be so happy. All right, it's an editorial written in the Detroit News as we get ready to wrap up the first hour. The headline, maybe EM opponents should have taken democracy seriously in the first place. This is not the first time that I've heard this comment made. The editorial was written by Dan Calabrese. He's the editor-in-chief of Best of Kane. The intimation is here, Raj, that there was on a Saturday, the Detroit News reported, a roster of those who participated in a gathering of people who don't like the EM law. And there were such groups as Michigan Welfare Rights Organization, the Eviction Defense, I like this. Its mouthpiece, Grace Lee Boggs, has contributed to society by translating the works of Karl Marx into English. Well, you know, everybody's got to have a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the crux of this, and I'm using the quoting fingers. I'm hearing things that aren't pertinent to the lives of the people in Detroit. I'm not hearing any answers. That, according to a 72-year-old retired auto worker. The intonation of this article is basically that the people of Detroit are, and anywhere else where an emergency manager has been placed in, are pretty much responsible. You get what you pay for, that type of thing, because they weren't paying enough attention to the comings and goings of their city operation or their school operation. In other words, if you expect for your democracy to work, you have to be the one with your hand on the switch. You have to go to city council meetings. You have to go to school board meetings. You have to make sure, and you're the vote. The voters put these people in. They are there to serve you. Therefore, you have to be the ones that are doing your due diligence and staying aware of what's going on. And apparently this has not been the case.
Do you think we should follow the lead of other countries and force people to vote?
No.
Why? If the key is community involvement and community awareness, why is it wrong to say that you have a responsibility to vote and you have a responsibility to make an intelligent vote?
I think because you can do that, Raj, by not forcing people, but by making them aware and making them feel that it's their responsibility and it's their honor and it's their need, as opposed to making it mandatory. Because if you do it mandatorily, people are going to go in the voting booth and they're just going to draw little circles because they don't care. They're not going to go out and investigate. I think if you make it a privilege and you make it such an incredible privilege that people want to, need to, will go and do their due diligence, then that, I think, makes the big difference. If you do it mandatory, there's a lot of people who are just going to go in and vote for anybody because they have to. So,
when you have political parties making it more difficult for people to vote, Isn't that working in the opposite direction from what you're suggesting?
Could be.
Okay.
News next. It is the Trifecta.
Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.